And we're going to change the pace a little bit in this hour. The last hour we talked to Anchor and that their terrific programs. But I've now wanted to talk to Steve. Now, Steve's with the Yarra Rangers Council, and it's about a program I've known a little bit about for a while, but we've never, ever talked about it in Community Connections, and I think it's a great program. I think it deserves to be supported, and probably we'll find out maybe they even need some volunteers as well. But first of all, welcome, Steve.
Sorry, just drop me out for a second there. My apologies.
Yeah, that's okay. No, you dropped out. Righto. So I've heard about it, but we'll pretend that nobody knows anything about it. So what is the program and why was it set up, Steve?
Yeah, definitely. So TAC, L2P...
Steve, could you get a little closer to your microphone? Is that possible,
yeah,
please?
The TAC, L2P program has been around for a bit over 10 years now. So TAC, obviously, for the Transport Accident Commission. So the program is federally funded. And then it's managed statewide by the Department of Transport and Planning, which is what we probably used to know as part of Vic Roads. Yep. And then delivered locally by councils like RCR Rangers Council and others throughout the state, about 50 something programs across the area. But it's been around for over 10 years, which is really fantastic and helped out a significant amount of young people in the time. To answer that question of what is it we do?
Yep. Tell us all about it.
Yeah. So the main thing that we do is we're here to help young people who don't have that access to get those hours for their license. So there is a requirement now for anyone going for their probationary license between 18 and 21. They have to have completed 120 hours of practice driving, which is fantastic.
That's gone up from 100. It used to be 100, didn't it? Am I right?
No, it's been 120 for a while.
Is it? Yep.
It went from 10 night hours to 20 night hours, but the total amount of 120 has stayed the same. But that can be...
Yeah. Steve's frozen on the screen a bit, so we'll just hopefully get back to us. He's dropped out. You're back, Steve.
All right, Alan, I'm going to switch up connections in a minute, but we'll keep going for a sec. Having the 120 hours, that can be a barrier for some of the young people that are in the community. And programs like this help reduce that barrier. We help get people from 0 hours right up to the 120 and to be able to get their license and get into employment, get into education, and find that connection to community that we're all craving.
So it was set up primarily to get it. The cost now, is there a cost to the young person that's involved?
So there's no cost to anyone participating. So the volunteer mentors that participate, they're giving their time. That is the cost to them, but that's the only cost we ask of them.
Yep.
And for the learners getting the benefit from the program, getting those hours, there's no cost to them either. We provide the car, we provide the professional lessons, we provide the connection with that volunteer mentor, and the learners simply provide their time and their eagerness to learn and get their hours safely.
So now that's one of the things that I wanted to touch on, and you said that you provide the driving lessons. You're not expecting the tutor, or not the tutor, you're not expecting a volunteer to get somebody who's never been behind the wheel and try and teach them, are you? Am I right that you get them some proper, well, when I say proper, with a motor school or something, so that the person isn't expected to teach them to drive, are they?
They're expected to fill the position that they would as a parent or a friend or a guardian. So they're not there as skilled professional instructors.
Yep.
They're there as that person to help build that practice.
But could I just go back a stage? What I'm trying to get at, they've already had some driving experience with a driving school, haven't they, before you put them in with a volunteer?
Yeah, so at the beginning of all of our matches between our learners and mentors, each learner will always get at least 1 to 3 professional lessons, and that helps us make sure that they've got that basic safety down in the car. They can control the steering wheel, they can control the pedals. Until they've been given the okay by one of our instructors, then they continue doing those professional.
Yep, that's the point I wanted to get at. You're not looking for volunteers who have been driving instructors and the likes of that, because you're looking at somebody who's there to reinforce what the young person's been told. We're having some terrible trouble with our link here at the moment. So Steve's got... Look, I think what I'll do, I'll take a quick break. I think, Steve, you're going to alter something around your end, aren't you? All right, I'll just... I'll take a quick break and we'll be back with more. Split ends and one step ahead. Now, Steve thinks he's got the problem solved, so we'll hope we certainly have. Steve, if we've got a young person listening today, or they may be at school, but mum or dad's listening, or grandparents, how do they go about getting their young person involved in the program?
Yeah, definitely. So there's probably two straightforward ways to get involved.
Can you come a little bit closer to the microphone, please, Steve?
If they have a MyVic Roads account, I'd recommend jumping in there.
What account?
A MyVic Roads account. Right. So they would have used that to get their learner's permit if they've done that online. And in that space, there is a section under licences and learner permits, which takes them straight to an online application. Whether they're in the Yarra Ranges or another area, it can send their application directly to them. Yep. Alternatively, they could do a paper version and then email it through to the program that's closest to them. So for anyone in the Yarra Ranges, it's on the council website, so yarrarangers.vic.gov.au/L2P. And on that page, there's a link to the PDF form. They can print it out, they can fill it in however they like, and then there's the email link there for L2P as well.
Steve, is there any sort of checking out, or is it only involved for a certain part of the community? But is it means tested, or can it be anybody?
Yeah, definitely. So obviously, it's a service that we're providing for free, but it means that it does need to fit a certain number of eligibility. So learners that are eligible are the ones that we're focusing on there, and that's for learners that are having barriers in access to a vehicle or access to a person that they can drive with. And there could be other factors in there as well. So it might be with Anchor that you were talking to before, young people that might be experiencing or at risk of homelessness or facing other challenges in their life. We're working with those young people to make sure that they're not disadvantaged by that and they can still have access. So it's really about helping those ones that don't have an opportunity to get hours in any other way.
What sort of age group does it cover? Is it only sort of the 18, 19-year-olds or...?
Yeah, so but we start right down at 16. So you can get your learner's permit at 16. So we support who's 16 right up to the age of 21. So 18 to 21 is when they can sit their PEAS tests. We do in some cases support 21 to 23-year-olds if there's other factors that are impacting their access. But once a learner gets over 21, there isn't a requirement for 120 hours. Just that they've had to have held their learner's permit for a period of time. But we still try and get a minimum with them to make sure that they're safe and supported before they head on the road. But 16 up to 21 is the average age bracket for our program.
Yeah. I think one of the important things is them getting the time. And I can remember, like, my father, and he was a good teacher. He was a truck driver, so he knew all about it. But I can remember on a couple of occasions he said, "Oh, it's raining today, you'd better not drive." And that's... that, when you think about it, is stupid because, and I'm not calling my dad stupid, but the first night you're out by yourself, you could easily get rain. And you know, what do you do if you haven't had the experience?
Exactly. You've got to drive in all those conditions. Yep. To a point, obviously, as well, we limit it when there's days where it might be a bushfire risk or a storm risk where it's going to be dangerous for anyone to drive. And so we'll limit where the drives are happening on those days. But rain is great, you know, nighttime is great, wind is great. All these things are fantastic opportunities to get practice and experience on the road for those exact drives that we're going to do once we get our PEAS.
So when is the service available? I know that'll depend a bit upon the volunteers, but are they all sort of after school evenings, or are they weekends, or when are they, Steph?
Yeah, and that's probably one of my favourite parts about L2P and volunteering or supporting L2P is that it is a program that runs, the cars are available from 7 a.m. till 10 p.m. every day of the week.
Where do they get the cars from, Steph?
Yeah, so we have three at the moment. One is based in Lilydale, one is based in Yarra Junction, and thanks to the support of the Monbulk and District Community Bank, and we have one based down in Monbulk as well.
But are they just on the side of the road, or are they at police station or something like that?
Each of them are in a different location.
Oh, right.
It's usually a council-based location. They've got a secure process in terms of accessing the vehicle. Mm. But across each of those locations connected with the council sites. But that access, that 7 till 10 p.m. access is fantastic. So what it means then is if you've got a learner that is still at school, they can finish up school and do a drive afterwards. If you've got a learner who has already finished school, then they can do a drive during the day. And it's the same thing for the volunteer end, because we've got some volunteers who are working full-time or part-time or students or might even be retired. And the benefit is we can fit within the flexibility of what their availability is.
You mentioned, though, is those times you gave, are they weekends as well? Like the cars are available over the weekend?
7 days a week.
Yeah, right. Yep. So I guess... All right, we've worked out how the young people get involved. Are you looking for volunteers all the time?
Always looking for volunteers. There's always a significant need, particularly with our car in based in Yarra Junction and Lilydale at the moment. Monbulk, we've done really well with the support of the community bank down there, and we've actually got more volunteers than learners at the moment in that Monbulk car.
That's fantastic.
We have learners that are listening in the Monbulk area or people that are connected to learners and they meet that eligibility, then reach out for Monbulk. In these other areas, Lilydale and Yarra Junction, obviously if you're in need, please do reach out. But if you're a volunteer, we definitely need that help in those areas to build it up.
So what do you want from a volunteer, Steve? For them to volunteer, if someone's listening today and thinking, oh, maybe I could do that, what sort of person and what sort of qualifications or whatever would you want?
Yeah, I want all kinds of people. And that's the benefit is having an opportunity for a volunteer that can connect or a learner can connect to is really important. So don't count yourself out if you're not a mad car fan, because you don't need to be. If you aren't You know, if you don't feel like you're across every single roadblock, you're still great for the program because you're someone who has a full license, someone who has driving experience. So we're looking for people who can commit 1 to 2 hours per week, you know, who can bring that enthusiasm, that excitement, that passion for supporting a young person, and someone who can share the experience they have with their own full license with a young person.
Would you expect or does somebody have to have a working with children?
Yeah, so there's a number of checks and balances we have to go through to make sure that each of our volunteers are appropriate for the program. Working with children check is one of them. We also complete a police check. We do complete a driver history report.
I was going to ask you that because you don't want someone who's lost their license 3 or 4 times, do you?
Yeah. So, and that's it's one of those things where each person is you know based on their own merits. Just because someone lost their license doesn't necessarily mean we won't take them in the program, but it is something that we need to look at. So, as an example, I've had someone that lost their license at 18. They were a 55-year-old applicant at the time. They hadn't had a single demerit in between, and they're a fantastic driver. But that learning experience was a great opportunity for them to teach other young people about. But what we generally look for is people that have a very, you know, good driving record, someone that can share those good habits that are driving safely and can share that passion for driving safely.
Steve, who's in control of the car? Like, I know the young person's driving, but like who makes a decision? Like, if I'm thinking about you're coming up towards a light, the driver thinks we're. It's dangerous, like it's going to turn caution and red, and the young person has the other one. Who actually makes a final decision? Is it the volunteer?
Well, it depends on the stage of the learner. So earlier on, if you've got a learner that's somewhere between, let's say, 0 and 20 hours, the mentor, that volunteer mentor, is going to be making a lot of those decisions. They're going to be guiding that learner because it's a new experience for them. It's like learning a whole new language.
Yep.
So that volunteer mentor is going to be the one sharing and making the decisions, sort of talking through all of the actions. And as they get further on, if you've got a learner that's around 90 hours, that's where the learners will be taking over more, and they're making more of those decisions, and the volunteer mentor is making sure that they're making the right decisions and supporting them and praising them for doing the right things and then correcting them when we need to tidy up some behaviours.
Well, that's part of why they're there, isn't it? That, apart from the fact that you need a licensed driver, but, I mean, they're there to pass the... Well, you're never going to improve if somebody's not... sort of giving a bit of guidance, are you?
Precisely. But at the end of the day, it's the learner with the wheel in their hands and the pedals under their feet, so they're really the ones that need to follow those instructions. And we talk about that with them early on, and that's part of making sure we have those professional lessons at the beginning too, to make sure that they've got that skill down first.
Got the basics. Got to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more, Steve. I'm talking to Steve from the Yarra Rangers Council, and we're talking about the L2P, and this is for the young people who don't have access to a car or a parent that can help them get their 120 hours. So this is a great program that's run by, well, I think it's federally, it's funded, but it's all about helping them get their hours up. Steve, so volunteers listening today, and you've mentioned it just briefly that you've got to do a police check on that. So if somebody was to contact you today, what's the process for them?
Yeah, thanks, Alan. So if someone reached out today, our first step is an application form, and that just helps get it the basic contact information, the details that we need from them. The next step is we call it intake, but it's a chance for us to, we call it, it's a bit of an interview, but it's a chance for us to get to know that volunteer in a bit more depth. We can find out what they want to know about the program. We can answer some questions for them, but we can also learn a bit more about them. And then in that intake process, we go through those checks that are required for most roles where you're working with young people. So police checks, working with...
Steve, I don't want to cut across you. Can I just stop you there for a minute? So I guess, do you put a lot of effort in to try to match the volunteer with the young person? Because some people don't always match, do they?
Yeah, precisely. And that's part of where that interview bit comes in. So you captured it really well. So getting to know the volunteer in that space helps us understand sometimes what their interests are or what their personality's like. And if we have a learner that's a good fit for them, we can go, fantastic, let's put those two together. And sometimes it can be really beneficial for the learner. And, you know, in previous cases, we've had a learner wanting to go into a field of work that volunteer's just stepped out of.
Oh, yeah.
And they can provide that knowledge and share that wisdom. So it's not just that time in the car. So we call them a mentor, because it's not just learning about driving, but there's also that role modeling experience that you can share, you know, that connection to community or your knowledge that you've had in any walk of life or whatever career you've had or any experiences that you had, you can share that with the learner. So in times where it lines up like that, it's really fantastic. It doesn't always, you know, sometimes it's just that they've got availability that's paired, and we try and put people together that we think will be a good match.
Steve, do you find sometimes that, and this is probably going to be a very hard question to answer, sometimes they might be in a single mother family or a single father family, that sometimes it's better to have them with whatever they haven't got at home, so that they get a bit of mentoring. If it's a single mum home, they get a bit of mentoring and a bit of experience with a man, whereas if he's coming, or he or she's coming from a where there's only a father, do you find that there's a bit of that goes on as well, or do you, that doesn't become part of it?
It definitely can, and I think it depends on the learner's experience in that case. And what their needs look like. So in some cases, yeah, definitely a male mentor would be a really great fit. Some cases a female mentor is a really fantastic fit. And it's about finding the right person for the right person. So, and that kind of links back to that role modeling mindset, and that we're there to support them to get those hours, to help practice those hours, but also as a role model to show, you know, a really positive representation in the community.
Steve, do you find if in the mentors you've got at the moment, what percentage would be male as opposed female?
Yeah, it's a great question. We've done some recent stats on this too. Volunteering across Australia usually lends towards more women, and men tend to lean more into sporting roles as a sort of demographic statistic. But yep. In our program, we've noticed that we have we tend to have more males, you know, applying to be volunteers and interested in that aspect of supporting and teaching a younger person, which is fantastic. And we're really trying to bring up those numbers of our female volunteers. We're not quite half-half. We're probably about 60-40 is where we're sitting. And we'd love to bring up some more female volunteers to support that balance, but also to support some of our younger female learners who might have a need for a female mentor and have support, have a need for that support in that way. So if there are any of our listeners are out there driving and are women in the community, you know, there's some young women out there that could definitely use that help.
True. Steve, how many people or how long do you expect the 120 hours to take? Now, I know that's a bit hard because some are available, you know, a lot more than others. Do you find that it takes maybe the 2 years, or if you get a person, say they come to you at 16, you wouldn't want them to do it too quickly and then sort of fall away until they can get their license at 18, would you?
Yeah, we want to try and make sure that we've got a good balance. And often we find learners come to the program as they're coming close to that 18-year-old mark and they're seeing the potential for their license.
Right, not so much the 16-year-olds who want to get behind the wheel of a car.
Yeah, so when they start saying, oh, I could get my license soon, they want to get those hours and they're realizing there's that gap. But yeah, you're right. I think the maths is on for you there. If we're looking at an hour to 2 hours per week from our mentors, our volunteer mentors,
yep.
And you calculate that out, we're probably looking at about 2 years that we're matched up with the learner. It can go quicker than that. Often we start off at that 1 to 2 hours mark and mentors and learners tend to find that they want to do more hours on the weekends as they get more comfortable and more skilled. And they get faster towards the end. I've had mentors and learners finish a whole 120 in 6 months. And I've had mentors and learners finish the whole 120 across 2 and a bit years.
6 months is probably a bit too quick, isn't it?
It's pretty quick. Yeah.
Steve.
It's a bit of a rarity.
I've got to take a break, but just before I go, so the mentor rocks up and he meets, he or she, and the he or she young person. So is there any restrictions on the car? Now, what I mean by that, do they have to just stay within the Yarra Valley or is it up to the mentor and the young person to decide, look, today, instead of just doing an hour around the Yarra Valley, we'll take 2 hours, we'll go north or we'll go down to the Rosebud Sorrento area. Is there any restrictions on where the cars can go?
The cars have actually gone that far and further, in fact, so... the only restriction really there is the skill of the learner and the availability of the car. We want to make sure that everyone gets a fair chance at using the vehicle.
Yep.
So if we're taking longer drives, we want to make sure that we're not impacting others that are trying to use it. But it has done right around the bay and back again. So it's gone the full distance.
Well, because I was thinking sometimes if you just drive around the Yarra Valley, all right, you've got some roads and you've got a few major roads and you've got a few unmade roads and that sort of stuff. But sometimes on a longer run, you know, you go through a town, so you've got to slow down to 60 and, you know, the 40s, if it happens to be a school, or it wouldn't be a school zone probably, because they'd stay out of school. But you'd probably on a longer run, you might get a better sort of... broader range of the sort of roads you'd come up against?
Yeah, for sure. And with the closest testing centre being in Ringwood, there's a need to even travel there on a regular basis. So getting that sort of more busy, more urban, more densely populated areas. But getting them an opportunity to do hook turns in the city is a really fantastic drive to do. One of them is...
Well, I was in there last Saturday night and that could be murder for someone who's had a license for a long, long while.
it gets us all. One of our mentors, you know, was fantastic. He actually wrote a map for all the other mentors to use where you can go in, you do 10 hook turns and you can pop straight back out again and be in the Yarra Valley. I think it was within about 2 hours. So
really?
Mapped it to precision, which is fantastic because it gives that experience. But it also gets them back within a reasonable amount of time. So great to get those skills in there too.
Well, just need to take a quick break and we'll be back with more.
We'll be right back.
listen, your community connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley, where it's 15 minutes to 2, 19 degrees, and I will be here till 3 o'clock. We're going to interview Helen, and we're going to be talking about Quilts of Valour. I guess a lot of you have never heard about that. I've only heard about it recently. I don't know much about it, but between 2 and 3, we're going to find a lot out about it. But anyway, I'm talking to Steve from the Yarra Rangers Council, and we're talking about the L2P. Now, Steve, you wanted to tie it in with Volunteer Week that we've just had.
Yeah, definitely do. So last week, 20th to the 26th, was National Volunteer Week. It's a great chance to celebrate and acknowledge the work that volunteers, but also the value that they give back to the community. So I wanted to shout out our L2P volunteers that we have in our program and say thank you to them in this forum and congratulate them on the amazing work they do, but also to shout out all the volunteers across the community, because without volunteers, we couldn't have a whole range of services, connections.
Absolutely.
Community events. You know, all these things that we get to enjoy every week are put together by volunteers from all walks of life and all different areas. So a big thank you to people that volunteer in our community, and a big shout out to anyone who's not volunteering to maybe jump on board.
Give it a go.
Yeah, you know, you might enjoy it. You might find that you've found a passion, or it might lead you to a new career, which it's done for a few of our volunteers.
And you meet some fabulous people.
Exactly right. So, you know, the best kind.
Steve, I've got to take another quick break in a minute. Then when we come back, if people like to get their paper and pencil out, I'll get you to give us all the contact details yet again. And again, we'll an appeal, because there's two areas that you would really like some volunteers, aren't there?
Definitely is, yes.
All right, I'll take a quick break and be back with more with Steve. Talking to Steve from the Yarra Rangers Council. We're talking about the L2P program. Look, it really does deserve your support, and I know he's looking for volunteers, so we're going to get him to give you the details in just a minute, but just think about this two ways. You're doing two things. You're giving 120 hours to a young person who very well may not get those hours because they're, for some reason the family hasn't got a car or they don't have access to a car. And the other thing is too, which we don't think about enough, is that the better we can put a young person on the road at 18, it's not only good for them, it's good for every one of us that are going to meet them on the road. So don't kid ourselves. The better we can put a young person on the road, the best qualified, it's not only great for them, but it's good for us as well. So, Steve, now, we've got everyone excited. How are they going to... first of all, how's the young person going to apply to be part of it, and how's the volunteer going to be?
Yeah, fantastic. And first place I'd probably suggest for everyone to head to is jump on the council's website, yarrarangers.vic.gov.au/L2P. There's a bunch of information there and the application forms. But if you want to talk more about it, I am free, I'm available, I'm happy to chat to anyone that wants to know more. And they can call the council line and ask for L2P. It'll come through to me, and that's...
And what's the number, please?
1300 368 333.
Again,
that's the council line, and just ask for L2P and it'll come straight through to me. And then the last one that I'll throw in there is my direct email, so feel free to use that as well, which is L2P, so letter L, number 2, letter P, at yarrarangers.vic.gov.au.
Steve, the L2P, is it capital L or small L?
Both will work, yeah. Yep. So it is generally a capital, standing for that learner to probationary.
Yep.
But either way should work as you're emailing it through or putting it in the website link.
So it's L2P at yarrarangers.vic.gov.au.
That's the one. That's where you'll find me.
Or 1300 368 333, is that right?
Exactly right. That's the council line, and then just ask for L2P and they'll put you straight through to me.
Right. Now, just tell us again, Mount Evelyn, you could always probably take another volunteer, but really you've got a real need in two other areas.
Yeah, so we need volunteers right across. The car that we have based in Lilydale is our urban car, so it covers quite a significant area and a lot of young people that are connected to it. So if you're anywhere near Lilydale or that the surrounding suburbs, please do reach out. Yarra Junction particularly, we do need some volunteers up there to support the car that we have in that area. So if you're in Warburton or Seville, Woorealik, any of those surrounding suburbs, please reach out. And if you're a learner down in Mombok, check in, because we do have some space. We've got mentors ready to go down there who are eager to help out a learner in need.
You've got volunteers raring to go and a car all raring to go nobody to fulfil it all the time.
Indeed.
Steve, when... do you yourself or the council or anyone have any sort of say on where they take the car? Now, we've talked about the distance from Melbourne or from there, but I'm sort of thinking, do you encourage the volunteers and say, look, you should take them through Lilydale, but you need to take them up in the Dandenongs? Do you sort of try to say to them, or is anything where it says to them, look, you really need to cover all these particular areas, dirt roads, because people can come unstuck on a dirt road if you're driven on bitumen all the time, or is that up to the volunteer to decide?
It's up to the volunteer to decide, but it's definitely part of the process in what we're looking for in each session. So in the app that tracks the hours that we log these days, it's actually got little reminders in there to do drives on different scenarios and different road conditions. And one of our mentors, I'm going to shout Chris out here real quickly, but one of our mentors, Chris, actually created a little booklet for our new volunteer mentors of good places to drive. And some of those are windy roads without street lights, though nighttime drives down those areas are pretty tough.
Yep.
Some of those are the dirt roads, which are really good practice spaces to get that experience, particularly in the area that we live. Yep. So that we can make sure that we're prepared for everything we're going to encounter.
Because, as I was saying before, like if you're driving on bitumen and all of a sudden you sort of drive the same way and you get on the gravel road, you can very easily lose it down on, and people sort of travel at the speed they think they should, and very often on some of these little side roads, particularly gravel roads, that's not a good policy.
Yeah, too true.
Steve, look, it's been great having you on. I support this. And as I was saying before, there are young people out there that just don't have the opportunity to get into a car. And I guess the other thing is too that one of the great things about using your volunteers, you know the people that they are, you know their experience, because sometimes mum and dad aren't the best driver.
Yeah. And the focus is just on the drive. So when they're out there together, they're not trying to get from A to B or trying to make it somewhere in a quick, short amount of time. They're there specifically to get that practice.
Steve, I'm going to chuck one at you. And what's the funniest place you've ever heard where they've taken a car?
Oh, okay. It only happened once, but it was a celebration at the end of that learner's 120 hours, but they took it on the ferry.
Did they?
So from Sorrento to Queenscliff, they did the full loop of the bay and then brought it back as a little celebration of finishing the 120 hours.
Gee. Have you ever found that some of the volunteers still stay involved with the person after they've got their 120 hours up, or that doesn't happen much?
It does happen. I think that the volunteers, what I hear back from them after they've finished with the learner is a couple of things. One, they find out that their driving got better from being part of the program as a fully licensed driver as well. But two, they might have that connection with that young person or their community and have a different appreciation or understanding of what's happening for the people around them. And every now and then they'll get a letter or notice to say, oh, I'm still going well, or I've travelled here, or I've gone there, or what they've been able to do with their license, which is really fantastic. A couple of learners became ambulance drivers. Some of them went overseas and have done things over there. So they throw a little message to their mentor every now and then, which is quite lovely.
I was just going to ask you, do you have any people that go on to actually use the driving skills, as apart from just getting your license for driving around? Well, obviously an ambulance driver, they'd be, and of course then they get a whole lot more training as well. I mean, you don't put a person in an ambulance or a police car and let them drive on lights and sirens without a lot more experience.
But true, but it's that first step for them. So, having that license meant it creates that path to get into ambulance driving or, being a paramedic.
Yeah. How many, off the top of your head, do you have any idea how many people you've put through the program over those 10 years?
Yeah, so I've been in the program now 8 years, and I did a quick math calculation a little while back and found out that I'd put through, in the time that I'd been in the program, it was about 180 to 200 people had gotten their Ps in the program since I'd started. And so obviously prior to that, I think the program in the 14 years it's been at Yarra Ranges, it's helped over 250 get to their Ps, and a number of others that had got ours but maybe moved out of the area and got their Ps elsewhere. But 250 that had gotten their Ps through the program in that time.
And I know you're here just quickly to talk about the Yarra Ranges, because that's where you're based and that's where we are. But I guess because we do have listeners in other areas, there's no doubt other areas most municipalities would run the scheme, wouldn't they?
Yeah, so it's across 55 councils in the state. So in most areas, you'll find that there is an L2P program. And if it's not delivered by a council, it's by a not-for-profit. So Salvos, Melbourne City Mission, the local living education networks, learning education networks, excuse me. But if you go onto the Vic Roads and search L2P, you can search your postcode and it'll tell you the closest one.
Steve, I've got to go. The news is banging on the door. Thank you very much for your time, and I hope you get plenty of volunteers and young people.
Thanks for your time, Alan. Really appreciate it.
Peace, Steve. Bye.